Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Monday, January 6th edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Kind of a quiet weekend, you know, not a ton of news, a little bit here and there, some fight announcements I'll get to, but a lot of Conor McGregor stuff. The next 2 weeks, there's no card. There's no UFC card. So until January 18th, there's not going to be much, you know, fight breakdowns and fight recaps and stuff like that, which is cool. We need a break from everything. But I'm already missing fights. Like, I want to watch some fights again, even though it's been just like a week. Anyways, let's get right into today's show. So I want to talk about Conor McGregor here because he did a real long interview last week with the Mac Life, which is his official website. And he talked to Oscar there about a bunch of different topics, including UFC 246, which honestly, I feel like he's looking past Cowboy a bit. And there was a commercial on the weekend. So during the NFL wildcard games, there was no mention of Cowboy. Just said Conor McGregor's return, the Notorious is back, and just so much disrespect shown to Cowboy. It's crazy, right? Like, listen, I'm picking Conor. Spoiler: I'm picking Conor in this fight because stylistically, I do like the matchup for him because of his punchy power and Cowboy's inability to really to take big shots. But Cowboy can win this fight too. Like, he does have the tools in his toolbox to get the job done. He has the ground game. He's got the leg kicks. He's got the submissions. He's got the experience. So it's not as big of a mismatch as some people are leading to believe. I know there's a lot of people actually like Cowboy, dog, including Marcus Williams, who always listens to this podcast, and also my friend Aaron at TSN. So there's a lot of people that are on Cerrone. I like Conor here, but it is kind of crazy how disrespected Cerrone's getting coming in this fight. Like, he has the most fights, I believe, in UFC history, the most wins, I'm pretty sure, as well. So it's kind of crazy, right? Anyways, so Conor McGregor talked about a bunch of stuff in this interview, which was a really good interview. And he did speak about the welterweight title picture, because this fight's obviously taking place at 170. And he says he wants to fight Usman and he wants Covington. Like, he wants these guys. So that's interesting, because I think a lot of people expected him to say he just didn't want to cut the weight. And that is part of it, too. He even said, like, I'm going to be fighting again probably pretty soon. Like, what's the point of cutting weight when I might have to step in if Tony or Khabib gets hurt? I'll talk about them in a second. So I understand that, but he seems to be actually gunning for the welterweight belt. And not only that, he seems to be gunning for the BMF title because he said he wants that belt. He said it kind of hurt him seeing Masvidal hold that title when he believes it should be his. So, you know, Dana White, when that belt was first introduced at UFC 244, he said this belt's not going to be defended. It's going to be a one-fight deal. It's not going to be defended. But it seems like Dana's changing his tune. And obviously McGregor can change his tune pretty easily with those dollar signs floating around Dana's mind. So if you ask me, guys, I feel like the BMF belt will be defended in 2020. Like, I don't even think that's a bold prediction. I think that's pretty safe to say. That belt is going to be defended. So I know it's a fake belt or whatever you want to call it. It's just kind of a fun thing, gimmick. But I think McGregor will fight Masvidal probably at some point for that title. But, yeah, he seems to be gunning for that welterweight belt, too. He wants to become one of the – or I guess the only guy in UFC history that would hold a belt in three different divisions, which is insane, right? It'd be obviously featherweight and lightweight and then welterweight. So – there's a chance this could happen, guys. I don't like McGregor's chances against guys like Usman and Covington just because I do believe he's going to be too small for those fights. But it is interesting to think that this guy could become the first fighter in UFC history to win titles in three different divisions. Pretty nuts. He was asked about Justin Gaethje as well, and he says he wants to fight Gaethje. He says Gaethje's on his hit list. So that's a fight a lot of fans want to see. I want to see that fight. It's a great fight. On paper, it's a really fun matchup between two strikers. Basically, what McGregor said was he's hoping to beat Cerrone quickly and take no damage and have a quick turnaround fight against Gaethje before he fights a Bieber first. And maybe this is why UFC 248 doesn't have a main event yet. All the rumors are pointing to Adesanya versus Romero as the main event, but that fight hasn't been signed yet. Why not? That card's only like 2 months away. Why hasn't it been signed yet? I'm starting to think maybe they're waiting to see what happens with McGregor here. Maybe if McGregor goes and beats Cerrone in the first round, Dana White will book him against Justin Gaethje in the main event of UFC 248. And why not, right? If Conor wants to fight often in 2020, why not book it? So I think this fight's going to happen this year, too. I think there's a lot of fights for Conor that might happen. Masvidal, Gaethje. And the other one would be the winner of Khabib and Ferguson. McGregor wants to be ready for that fight. He's going to be ready in case of an injury. Dana White said he's going to be on standby. So a lot of people aren't going to be happy about that. They want Gaethje to be the guy that steps in. But it looks like McGregor would be the guy who gets the first nod if he goes out there and beats Cerrone, which, again, lots of people expect him to do so in impressive fashion. If he does that, He could be the guy that, just in case there's an injury to Bieber or Tony. And let's be honest, I love those two guys, but they've been matched up four times before and someone's going to hurt every single time. So who's to say this fifth time is going to be the charm? There's a good chance the fight might fall through again. So Conor would be the guy who steps in. But again, you know, that's not set in stone by any means. Gaethje fight, though, that is interesting. That would be a fun fight. And, you know, he has spoke a little bit about Gaethje in the past, not a lot. He's kind of ignored him a little bit. But now he's said he's on the list. He can get it, too. So that'd be a fun fight. Anyways, it was an interesting interview, man. You know what? Say what you want about McGregor. And obviously, the stuff outside the cage last year was really bad. And the year before, too, the bus attack and the guy, the cell phone he smashed from the guy. I think it was in Miami. And obviously, some of the extramarital stuff that's alleged as well. Not good. Not good. But the guy brings eyeballs to the sport. And for us journalists, he's good because people read our stuff when we write about McGregor. So love him or hate him, the guy sells tickets. He puts eyeballs on the screen. And he puts butts in the seats. That's why the UFC loves him. And to be quite frank, that's why the media likes the guy so much, because he really does generate a lot of buzz. And he's really good for headlines. So that's enough for McGregor. That fight's going to be in 2 weeks. I am looking forward to that. Next week, I'll be breaking down that fight with Cole. This would be good. That's the first card of the year. So our picks over again. I had an okay year last year in picking. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. You know, the last few years before that, I actually picked really well. Last year was kind of an off year. It is what it is. You know, the matchmaking was really good last year. If you ask me, like, there wasn't as many upsets. I noticed this. James Lynch actually did a post of, like, all the upsets from last year. There weren't that many, like, huge upsets. There was a couple, like, comment worthy and Chance Rencounter was another one. There was a few. There wasn't that many, though. Like, not as many as previous years where you saw, like, a bunch of, like, you know, 6, 7, plus 800 underdogs win. Last year was only, like, a handful, like, if anything. And if the upsets did happen, it'd be, like, in the plus 200 range. There weren't that many big upsets because the matchmaking is so good. So maybe this year it'd be different. But honestly, I'm going to adjust my picking strategy to probably picking more safer picks, because last year I took a lot of underdogs and it didn't really pay off, you know, and I'm a guy who likes to take a risk and I like picking underdogs, but maybe this year I'm going to, you know, pick a few here and there, obviously, but probably not as crazy as I was last year. Sometimes I would pick, you know, 4 or 5 underdogs in a card and maybe one would win, because years past, that's what happened. But, you know, we have to adjust and make adjustments. And I'm hoping 2020 is going to be the year where I win the MMA Odds Breaker picks challenge. Last year it was Brad Taschuk, so congrats, Brad. By the way, he did really well in his picks. Anyways, let's get to some fight announcements here, because there were a couple on the weekend, some good ones. This is a fun fight. UFC 248, speaking of it, Jeremy Stephens versus Calvin Kattar. Great fight. Love this matchup. Fun fight. Really fun one, guys. I know Stephens is on a skid. He actually is winless in his last 4 fights, but let's be fair here. Look who he lost to. Zabit, Yair, and Aldo. So no shame in those losses. He did beat knockout Josh Emmett. He beat him back in February 2018. That was his last win, and it's kind of obviously improved since then, but that does show that Stephens is a very, very good fighter when he's on. So he takes on Kattar here, and Calvin Kattar is coming off a loss as well against the beat, but he is a beast, and we know how good his boxing skills are. And he's 31, so he's only 2 years younger than Stephens, who's 33. He's been around forever, but you know, I think Kattar is just a bit fresher because he hasn't fought that much in the UFC. He does have quite a bit of fights in his career. 24 fights. Stephens, though, has how many fights does Stephens have? 24 for Kattar, and for Stephens, wow, he's got 46. So he's got a lot of fights. Obviously, more wear and tear, but you know, the guy's very durable as well. I do like Kattar a little bit in this fight, though. I think the guy's really talented, honestly. And I think that's a B fight. If it went 5 rounds, I'm one of those people that think the outcome could have been different, but we'll never know. All right, so that's UFC 248. UFC Brasilia gets a couple fights here. Here's a good one. Antonio Carlos Jr. will be taking on Makhmed Meridov. So interesting fight here. Jr. Was supposed to fight Brad Tavares, but Tavares pulled out. So now Jr. is going to take on Meridov. And Jr. is actually coming off back-to-back losses to Uriah Hall and Ian Heinisch. But before that, he had won 5 straight fights, including a win over Marvin Vettori, which looks really good right now because Vettori is a very, very talented guy. Couple other guys in there like Tim Boach and Eric Spicely, the kind of like gatekeeper types. But you know, the Uriah Hall fight was close. I did pick Hall in that fight. That was one of the underdogs I actually picked right last year. But you know, it was a close fight. It could have been a win. Excuse me, for Junior. It could have been a win for him. It's possible. So it's not like he's coming off a blowout loss by any means. Mirodov, on the other hand, man, this guy's talented, guys. Like, you're talking about, like, you know, up-and-coming middleweights and guys that could be sleeper contenders. This guy is the guy to watch, maybe. 24-6 record. And his UFC career so far, he beat Alessio Chirico in his debut and then knocked out Trevor Smith in absolutely devastating fashion in the last fight. I loved him there in that spot. I did like him by knockout, and he did the job. So he's on a nice win streak here. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 fight win streak. That is impressive as hell. I know Junior's talented, and the fight is in Brazil. So that's obviously not going to be easy for Mirodov. But you know what, guys? I do kind of like Mirodov in this fight. And by the way, I'm surprised. Sherdog actually lists the main event right now as Eliza Zaleski de Santos versus Alexei Kachenko, which surprises me because I assume it would be the next fight I'm going to talk about here, Damian Maia versus Gilbert Burns. So I don't know if that's 100% accurate or not, but it looks like de Santos versus Kachenko is the main event, which is a good fight, and de Santos deserves it, but I'm just surprised coming off that loss against Jing Liang, they would give him the main event. I'm not sure if that's 100% confirmed. Sure, it does list it, though, so maybe it is at this point. Because I did hear that Maia versus Burns is the co-main event. So I guess unless they ask add another fight, that's going to be the bout order. Which, again, is a little surprising because I'd rather see Maia versus Burns for 5 rounds. I think that's a fight that should be 5 rounds because I think it could go 5 rounds. I don't think DeSantos versus Kachenko is going to go 5. I think Maia versus Burns would because I think it's going to be a very grappling-heavy fight and a very interesting fight. Damian Maia, one of the greats of all time in the UFC and in the middleweight division, the welterweight division. 42 years old, but still ticking. And back-to-back-to-back wins, 3 wins in a row over Ben Askren, Anthony Rocco, Martin Lyman Good. And he looked great against Askren. One of the better fights of last year. He's got that win over Masvidal for 2017. Looks great right now. He's got tons of experience. I mean, the guy is super talented on the ground. He is older, but he's still getting the job done. Gilbert Burns, 33 years old, 17-3 in his career. And Burns coming off a 4-fight win streak over Gunnar Nelson, Kachenko, Mike Davis, and Olivier Aubin-Mercier. So that's interesting. He's looked really good at welterweight with the wins over Nelson and Kachenko. Interesting fight. I mean, Burns is 9 years younger, and that's definitely something to keep in mind. But Maia is so experienced, so dangerous. It's a tough fight to call, guys. Honestly, I lean a little bit towards Gilbert Burns. You know, to be fair, I've been picking against Maia during his win streak just now because I keep feeling like we should fade him at age 42, but he keeps pulling off the win. So this is not an easy fight to call, but I just really like how Burns has looked lately. He's looked really good. All right, a couple other fights here. Mike Grundy versus Makwan Amerkani at UFC London. Another really fun fight here in the featherweight division. I like this matchup a lot. Mike Grundy's a very talented guy coming off a nice win over Nad Narayani in his debut in the UFC, and he's on a 9-fight win streak, so he's looked really good. And Makwan Amerkani coming off a knockout loss against Shane Burgos, overall 5-2 in the UFC. He doesn't fight that often, usually like once, maybe twice a year, but usually once. He is a talented guy for sure, but I don't know. I kind of like Grundy a little bit in this fight. We'll see what happens, though. Interesting fight. And the last fight here, Brock Weaver versus Rodrigo Vargas at UFC Rio Rancho. Brock Weaver, he's a guy that I think a lot of people like coming off Contender Series, 14-4 record. And he's on a 3-fight win streak, and he beat Devin Smith in the Contender Series. Actually, sorry, he's not on a 3-fight win streak. He's on a 7-fight win streak. So he's actually he's on a very nice win streak right now. And then the guy he's fighting here is Rodrigo Vargas. And Vargas is 11-3 in his career, 34 years old. He's coming off a loss against Alex De Silva in his debut. He did knock out Mike De La Torre, the UFC vet in Mexico, in Combate with a head kick to get into the UFC. But obviously the loss to De Silva was not a great loss. I think people lean against Brock Weaver here, lean towards him, I should say, just because I think that there's some hype behind Brock Weaver. But yeah, an interesting fight for sure. And that's, I think, it for fight announcements. Like, there were quite a bit. And I expect even more to come out in the next coming days and weeks, guys. Like, there's so many cards coming up the UFC needs to start booking for. And I think we'll see a lot of fight announcements coming up. Anyways, that's going to be it for today's podcast. I'll be back tomorrow, as always. You guys can check me on Twitter, at MMAdamMartin. The podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsbreaker.com. That's my home. And also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARatings.net. Guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow for the next podcast. Have a good one. Bye.